our scripture reading this morning. We will be having a medley from Jonah chapters 1, 3, and 4, so a few different selections. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come before me." But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried to his God. They threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. Jonah, meanwhile, had gone down into the hold of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. After much discussion about what they could do so that the sea would quiet down, they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord even more, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. After that, God appointed a great sea creature to swallow Jonah, who managed to survive in its belly for 3 days and 3 nights. Then the sea creature vomited him up, and off he went to Nineveh. There he preached that if the city did not repent of its ways, it would be destroyed in 40 days. Hearing this, the king made a proclamation in Nineveh. "By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. And all shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish." Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush.
Twyla means double woven. Today I feel quadrupled woven, or maybe even more than that. I have so many ideas, and maybe some ideas that I have not thought of as well. Theo means gift from God. Landon means long hill. Russell means redhead. And Gloria Martin means, glory means glory. I neglected to say thank you last week for your lovely mission moment. You truly are a glory to that people you work with through MCC. Thank you. Remember a few weeks ago, we discussed what baby names meant, and sometimes parents choose names that reflect the definition. I know for my name, my mother heard the name Twyla Leap or Twyla Dawn and thought it was a perfect name for a daughter. 25 years ago, when Ray and I were expecting our first child, almost 26 years ago, we thought of many names. Being teachers, the name pool was not large because of the personalities we had encountered and taught along in our careers. Driving from A to B, we talked about Bible names. The suggestion Jonah came up. We paused for a little bit and thought, that might work. I'd like the name Jonah because of the Bible character. Three things that stood out to me about biblical Jonah. that I hope my son might reflect a little bit. One, biblical Jonah knew the scriptures. Two, Jonah and God talked. There was a relationship. Three, Jonah was innocently, elegantly compelling. He had riz, a new word that was added to the 2022 dictionary. Riz, a reference, someone as having charisma. I think Jonah was the 800 BCE definition of riz. Today we continue our series on the prophets. Obviously, I wanted to speak on Jonah, the prophet du jour. I will elaborate on the characteristics I like about Jonah and also raise questions about his journey. Does his experience give us advice for our journeys? I have some slides that will help with the story. Slide one, please. Now, if you can see on this slide, it shows that Jonah was in the air, but I don't want to say necessarily preaching, but was prophesizing in around 800 BC. BC standing for before Christ. And if you notice, the numbers go down, and that 0 BC or is when the time of Christ. Some of the other prophets that we have talking about, and I might need some reminders, there was Amos as well, we've talked about, was about the same time. There is also some suggestion that Jonah might have been around 500 BC because of the way of his writing, but the discussion of the kings would put him in around Jonah. I mean, in around 800 BC. You can also see Isaiah was there between 740 and 680. And do we recall any other prophets we've discussed? Go ahead, Pastor. And so you can see here, the prophets, these are before they were taken to Babylon and after they were taken to Babylon. Okay, moving on, we can look at slide number two. Oh, remember the Christmas tree? This is a great tree. I love this tree. If you notice, Jonah is not one of the blue ornaments, but a prophet there. Down at the very first blue ornament, that is Abraham. And then it swings all around. This is a tree of the genealogy of all those names that are suggested. Remember, the pink balls are the ladies that were suggested in the lineage. It's part of our series. I show this tree again, not only because Christmas is coming and we're excited about that, but you will notice the balls along the bottom of the tree are like the Bible stories. They are like the top 10 Bible stories that we'd like to tell about. So it's the stories about Joseph and his color coat. It's about Moses and the basket and the Exodus out of Egypt. So my point being that Jonah knew the Bible stories. Also, if you see the yellow Christmas ornament, that is Solomon. And just before Solomon, the last blue one there, is David. And David was known for writing a lot of the Psalms in the books. So Jonah would have known about those as well. Also, the big star. Who represents the big star at the top, William? Yeah, you got it. So you can notice where the bottom portion is like the Old Testament part, but that in Jesus' time, we also talk about Jonah. And that if you think of above us, all of that, we are again talking about Jonah. So let's suggest that the Bible story is 2,800 years old. It's an old one. Next slide, please. Okay. Lois and Stu, this is not a plan for a cruise. This has to do with Jonah. Here at the top places we've traveled on our cruises. This is all about Jonah today. If you see there Babylon, or there by Joppa, there's Jerusalem. We can assume that's where Jonah was hanging out. And Jonah, God said, Jonah, go over there to Nineveh. So go from Jerusalem to Nineveh. And then we know that Jonah said, don't wanna. So he goes to Joppa, and then he's gonna get on the ship bound for Tarshish. Tarshish is way over there by Spain. Now in those days, if you went beyond there, you were in the great abyss. The world ended at that point. So Jonah was trying to get away as far as he could. Also, there's some funny squiggly lines there. Jonah didn't make it to Tarshish. Some funny things happened in around those wiggly lines. Also, we should maybe mention that from Joppa or Jerusalem to Nineveh, it's about 300 to 500 kilometers. And they weren't taking their cars. They were taking their feet. So Tarshish is at the one end of the world, and that time of day, Nineveh would have been considered the other end of the world. We can keep this slide up for now because it'll help. Now I'm going to be reiterating a little bit about what I just said. I recognize that many are familiar with the Jonah story. Let me do a brief retelling of the story using the map. Jonah would have been in the vicinity of Jerusalem. God called him to go to Nineveh to tell the Ninevites to repent of their evil ways. Two things about Nineveh. One, they did not believe the same God that Israel believed in. And two, they were very evil, violent, cruel nation. It is scripturally referenced that about the blood and the dead bodies in the streets of Nineveh. I can't help thinking that Jonah is not much defying God, is not so much defying God as wanting to stay as far away as he can from Nineveh. He is afraid of being killed in Nineveh. So Jonah makes his way to Joppa to go west, ignoring God's plea for him to go east. He chooses to go to Tarshish, which would be considered the end of the world. As the story goes, Jonah gets on the ship and goes down to sleep. A storm comes up. My mind jumps to Matthew 8, where Jesus is sleeping on the boat and a storm appears. Jesus awakens and tells the storm to stop. It is calm. I return back to somewhere in the Mediterranean Sea to Jonah. The sailors pray to their gods for safety. The captain wakes up Jonah to ask Jonah to pray to his God as well. The long and short of the story, Jonah says, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and it will become calm." Where does Jonah get that confidence to say the sea will be calm? At first, I thought that Jonah was going overboard meant he would die. In fact, that Jonah would rather die than go to Nineveh. Giving it further thought and doing some research, is Jonah being a sacrifice? The sailors try to save their ship. Unfortunately, they end up throwing Jonah overboard. And immediately, the raging sea grew calm. And this is the sailors' greatest. This the sailors greatly feared. Can you quite imagine? Jonah's Lord, they offered a sacrifice to Jonah's God and made vows to God. I'm amazed how Jonah, even in his defiance not to go to Nineveh, unintentionally transformed the sailors' lives. Jonah saying earlier in the passage, "I worship the Lord, the God of heaven," which would have been etched in the hearts and minds of the sailors forever. Now, Jonah does not drown. God has provided a miraculous fish, a whale that swallowed Jonah. What do you think, guys? Quite a thing, eh? Jonah remains in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. Again, my mind races ahead 800 years when Christ is also in a tomb for 3 days. This thought I will tuck away for another sermon, maybe. Well, maybe not. Interestingly, we find out that while in the whale, Jonah spends time in prayer. I must ask you, what do you do when you are in a tight spot and have nowhere to turn? Do you pray as Jonah did? Do you fall back onto scriptures for comfort? Do you write poetic prose as we read in Jonah 2? In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. 3 days in the miraculous fish, and Jonah gets vomited out on the shore. God asks Jonah to go to Nineveh a second time. Jonah goes. My curiosity is piqued. Why is God choosing Jonah to go again? Why is God persisting with Jonah? How many times has God called on you? I think it has to do something with Jonah's character, his riz, his charisma, as I mentioned above. The city is a large city, and we don't know exactly how Jonah eventually got there, but it probably was by feet and would have been a long walk to the end of the world. The first day he gets there, he walks into the city for the day, and he's still not out of the city. For then, when Jonah goes in, he speaks about five words, and it's probably referencing five words in Hebrew, because in English it's eight. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And the Ninevites believed the message. The king heard and called an immediate fast. When God saw what they had done and they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Interestingly, being on a little hobby farm, he also told the animals they needed to repent and wear sackcloth. Sorry, we didn't bring any of our animals for demonstration. One would expect Jonah's reaction to be of great joy. However, Jonah is angry. He prays to God. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to foretell by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Two thoughts. One, isn't it great we can express our frustrations to God? And two, isn't Jonah lucky that God is slow to anger, or God might be angry with Jonah's immature behavior? I wonder, have you been frustrated with God and let God know your frustration? Before you answer that question, let's go on in the story. The story continues with God provoking Jonah further. God provides a shade bush for Jonah while Jonah is watching and hoping to see the destruction of Nineveh. It's kind of like getting your popcorn and sitting on the top of the hill and waiting for the show to begin. God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over top of Jonah for shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy. Sorry. Let's stop here for a second. What is your happy place? Embarkation day on a new cruise makes my corners of my mouth quiver. And I can't help but smile a huge smile. Feeling the same sentiment that Jonah did, getting under the leafy bush, the story continues. Continuing to read the passage, at dawn the next morning, a worm comes and eats the leafy bush. To make it worse, it's a squelching hot day with wind blowing. It's like God is pushing the buttons. Jonah again is extremely frustrated to the point where God says, "You have more concern about a plant than you did about the people of Nineveh." The story ends. We do not know if Jonah becomes remorseful or not. Now let's go back to the question. What is your happy place with God? Then let's ask the next question. Are we missing someone else's needs? How do I conclude? I like seeing the references or stories of the New Testament about Jonah. It helps me think that Jonah is relevant text even in 2024. Also, isn't it curious that the sailors in the city of Nineveh, the people that did not believe in Israel's God, became believers? Not so much because of Jonah, but in spite of Jonah. And is this a foreshadowing of the Gentiles in the New Testament? I'm not quite sure if that's the accurate way to say it. I wonder what you wonder about this story. Please bring your thoughts for second hour. Oh, by the way, in Hebrew, Jonah means dove or pigeon. Ray and I wish our son Jonah wings as he prepares for the lacrosse camp the next few weeks. And as for the biblical Jonah, isn't it ironic that he, as a bird, tried fleeing to Tarshish and ended up in a bush in Nineveh? LOL. Too bad he didn't eat that worm.